Farm and Ranch Contract. The Broker Lawyer Committee designed the TREC promulgated Farm and Ranch Contract for sales transactions of existing farms or ranches. This contract form is not for use in complex transactions. Paragraph 1. Parties. Enter buyer and seller's legal names as they will appear on all documents and closing instruments. The blanks for both buyer and seller should be filled in without any reference to marital status. Paragraph 2. Property. Paragraph 2. A. Enter the legal description and address of the property to be conveyed. If the property description is meets and bounds, attach the description to the contract. Please note that the land may span more than one county. Paragraph 2. B. This includes the improvements, which are all man-made additions to the land, including the house or houses, garage S, and other permanently installed and built-in items. Included in the improvements are the usual residential improvements and specific farm and ranch improvements. Paragraph 2. C describes accessories, which, while not necessarily permanently installed or built in, are commonly conveyed to buyer in the sale. Accessories include typical residential items. Checking the appropriate boxes indicates farm and ranch accessories that will convey. Paragraph 2. D. Crops. Even though seller has the right to harvest right up to the delivery of possession, some sellers may want to have the right to harvest after closing. For example, a cotton crop may not be ready to harvest at the time of closing, and since seller has a significant investment in the crop, he may want the right to harvest sometime after closing. If buyer gives seller this right, make sure buyer is covered by a separate agreement for this operation. Buyer and seller must agree on how seller will leave the land, including who will shred the stalks, plow the ground, and other issues. Paragraph 2.E. Exclusions. These would include portable pumps, augers, grain stored in a storage device, baled hay, feed for stock, and fertilizer. Once again, if seller is given the right to remove these after closing, a separate agreement should be drawn up with a time limit on the removal. Paragraph 2.F. Reservations. As with all TREC promulgated contracts, any mineral interest owned by seller will be conveyed to buyer by default. If minerals are to be reserved, they must be reserved using the TREC addendum for reservation of oil, gas, and other minerals 44-2, or an attorney-prepared form acceptable to the parties. Paragraph 3.A. The down payment is always the difference between the sales price and the sum of all financing. Paragraph 3. B. This is the sum of all financing from all sources. Insert only the amount actually being financed. Paragraph 3.C. The sales price is the sum of 3.A and 3.B. Paragraph 3.D. The sales price may or may not be adjusted based upon a survey required in paragraph 6.C. The parties can agree to adjust the cash portion or the financing portion or allocate between cash and financing proportionately. Note that either party may terminate the contract if the sales price varies by more than 10% from that stipulated in 3C. If adjusting, the parties should insert a per-acre price adjustment. Paragraph 4. Leases. If the seller is aware of any leases affecting the property, the seller will disclose them in the addendum regarding residential leases or the addendum regarding fixture leases. See Chapter 3 for detailed information on residential leases, fixture leases, and natural resource leases. Paragraph 4. D. Seller must provide buyer with a copy of all surface leases. Please note that some surface leases may be oral in nature. Seller must also notify buyer of any orally agreed to surface leases. Buyer may terminate the contract within a specified number of days after he/she receives all of the surface leases. If buyer terminates the contract within the contractually agreed upon number of days, his or her earnest money will be refunded. Surface leases include wind and solar leases, as well as hunting and grazing leases. Paragraph 5. Earnest money. Earnest money is a deposit paid upfront by buyer to show that he or she is serious in his or her intent. There is no standard for the dollar amount of earnest money, but it is often in the range of 1% of the purchase price, insert the amount of earnest money, and the name and address of the title company. If additional earnest money is required, enter the amount and the number of days. An option gives buyer the unrestricted right to terminate the contract within the option period. The termination may be for any reason or no reason at all. Suppose buyer chooses to terminate within the option period and gives the proper notice of termination. In that case, they will receive a refund of their earnest money and have no further obligations under the contract. Paragraph 5. A. The buyer will deliver the earnest money and the option fee to the escrow agent within 3 days after the contract's effective date. The buyer may combine the earnest money and the option fee into a single payment or make two separate payments. If the buyer makes one payment for both, the payment will be applied to the option fee first and then to the earnest money. The buyer must ensure that the payment is sufficient for both. Paragraph 5. B. While there is no mention of inspections in this paragraph, the option period allows for inspections that buyer may want. Recall that in paragraph 7, D buyer is purchasing the property as is. Because of this, the buyer is strongly urged to obtain inspections. Based upon the inspection findings, buyer can proceed to closing, attempt to negotiate repairs with the seller, or terminate the contract. If buyer chooses to terminate under the option, they will receive a refund of earnest money, but will not receive a refund of the option fee. The option fee is the consideration paid to seller for taking the property off the market for a time, while buyer decides whether or not he or she wants to finalize the purchase of the property. Please note that any notices under this paragraph must be provided by 5 p.m. on the specified date. The following must be present for a valid option to exist. The applicable blanks in paragraphs 5A and 5B must be filled in. The buyer must pay the option fee within 3 days after the effective date of the contract. Buyer must deliver the option fee to the escrow agent. The option fee is applied to the sales price at closing. Paragraph 6. Title policy and survey. There are 9 promulgated exceptions to all title policies in Texas. See Chapter 4 for more information. Paragraph 6.A. Either buyer or seller can pay the owner's title policy premium. In most cases, the seller pays the title policy premium. The title company named in paragraph 5 generally issues the title policy. Paragraph 6. B. Commitment. The title company has 20 days from the date it receives the contract to deliver a commitment to buyer for title insurance. This paragraph also provides for an automatic extension of the delivery time for up to 15 days or 3 days prior to closing if the commitment cannot be delivered within the 20 days allowed. Paragraph 6.C. Survey. See Chapter 4 for more information regarding surveys. Paragraph 6.C.1 seller has an existing survey that he or she intends to use. Enter the number of days that the seller has to deliver the survey. If the survey is unacceptable to the title company or lender, a new survey will be obtained at either buyer's or seller's expense. If the survey and affidavit or declaration are not delivered within the time specified, buyer will obtain a new survey at seller's expense. Paragraph 6.C.2. A new survey may be obtained at buyer's expense. It would be advisable to ensure that buyer has obtained credit approval prior to paying for a survey if the survey is to be obtained at buyer's expense in either 6.C.1 or 6.C.2. Buyer may not terminate under paragraph 2B of the third-party financing addendum if they fail to obtain the survey. Paragraph 6.C.3. A new survey is to be obtained at seller's expense. Paragraph 6.C.4. No survey is required. Paragraph 6. D. Objections. Enter the intended use of the property. If buyer is using the property for a residence only, many license holders insert the words residential use in this paragraph. Enter the number of days that buyer has to object. Paragraph 6.E. Exception documents. Exception documents can vary from property to property, but some of the common exceptions are oil or gas pipelines, granted easements, granted surface waivers, utility easements, and cemeteries. In many cases, the listing agent may not have a complete list of exceptions, so it might be wise to allow the title company to identify all the exceptions, which will appear on the search of title document. Paragraph 6.F. Surface leases. Most surface leases should become evident upon visiting the property, but some may not. The listing agent should have a list of information on surface leases. You must discuss these leases with your buyer, since he or she may not be willing to continue them. Leases can be written or oral, but most of them are oral. The most common are leases for grazing, hunting, hay, sand, and gravel, and wind. Buyer will have to take a position on any or all of these. If buyer wants to cancel any lease, then a statement to that effect should be made on the lines below or in paragraph 11 of this contract. Paragraph 6.G. Title notices. This section includes several notices relating to issues that may or may not apply to the real estate being sold. Most of these notices are required by statute. Paragraph 6.G. 1. Abstract or title policy. The Texas Real Estate License Act requires that license holders advise buyer to have the abstract examined by an attorney or obtain a title insurance policy. In this paragraph, the license holder complies with the License Act requirement. Paragraph 6.G2, Statutory Tax Districts. If the property is located in a utility district, this must be disclosed, as well as the bonded indebtedness, the tax rate, and standby fees of the utility district. Texas legislation allows a buyer to back out of an offer if the bonded indebtedness is not disclosed prior to closing. Seller must deliver, and buyer must sign the required notice. Paragraph 6.G3, Tidewaters. This notice is required if the property abuts tidally influenced waters. The notice, Addendum for Coastal Area Property, TREC 33-2, addresses the issue of boundary changes due to the natural action of water and rules prohibiting the construction of structures or fill without the necessary regulatory approvals. Paragraph 6.G4, Annexation. The property may currently be outside a municipality's boundaries. A nearby municipality may annex the property in the future. Cities have authority within an area known as their extraterritorial jurisdiction, that is, a jurisdiction outside of their existing boundaries. The extraterritorial jurisdiction is determined by the size of the city. It ranges from a minimum of 1 mile for small cities and up to 5 miles for cities with a population over 100,000. Paragraph 6.G5. Property located in a certificated service area of a utility service provider. Utility service providers are businesses licensed by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. They are not taxing authorities like utility districts, but do charge for water and sewer services, primarily in rural areas. They have been assigned an exclusive service area, territory, by the state of Texas. If property is located in a certificated service area of a utility service provider, a disclosure to buyers that there may be a charge for turning on or connecting water and sewer services is required by the Texas Water Code. Paragraph 6.G6, Public Improvement Districts. A Public Improvement District, PID, is a special taxing entity established by area property owners to enhance a neighborhood or commercial district. The creation of a PID requires a vote of at least 51% of the property owners affected by the new tax. Some local jurisdictions have set a threshold for approval over 51%. If the property is situated in a PID, notice must be provided to buyer informing him or her of the tax. Paragraph 6.G7, Texas, Agricultural Development District. The property is or is not located in a development district. The Agricultural Development District intends to encourage agricultural development within a geographically designated area. Legislation enabling the creation of districts was passed in 2001. As of early 2020, there were no districts in Texas. Paragraph 6.G8, Transfer Fees. Some properties are subject to a private transfer fee. Buyer is informed of the statute that might apply to the fee, if any. Paragraph 6.G9. Propane Gas System Service Area. Some properties fall within a propane gas system service area. If so, buyer will be notified, and an addendum containing the notice will be completed and included with the contract. Paragraph 6.G10. Notice of Water Level. Fluctuations. This paragraph serves as notice to the buyer that the level of water impoundments that adjoin the property may fluctuate for several reasons. This notice states that two possible causes of water level fluctuation may be drought or flood conditions, or the lawful exercise of entities with rights to the water stored in the impoundments. Paragraph 6.E, parentheses 11, Certificate of Mold Remediation. If remediation for mold has been performed on the property, seller must provide the buyer with any and all certificates for remediation activities for a period of five years prior to the sale. Paragraph 6.E12, Required Notices. The seller must provide the buyer with a notice if the property is in a utility, water, drainage, and/or public improvement district. Failure to provide these notices to the buyer may provide remedies or rights to terminate the contract. Paragraph 7. Property Condition. See the section on Property Condition, Inspection, Acceptance, and Repairs in Chapter 4 for a discussion of property condition. Paragraph 7A. Access, Inspections, and Utilities. Seller permits buyer access to the property at reasonable times for inspections. Seller will turn on utilities and leave utilities on during the time covered by this contract. Buyer is also notified that he or she should verify the availability of utilities suitable to satisfy buyer's needs. Paragraph 7. B. Seller's Disclosure Notice. Pursuant to Section 5.008, Texas Property Code, Notice. Buyer should receive the seller's disclosure notice prior to making an offer. Paragraph B has three options. Paragraph 7. B. One buyer has received the notice. This option is the most desirable if seller is obligated to provide a seller's disclosure. Paragraph 7. B2. Buyer has not received the notice and can terminate for any reason up to 7 days after receiving the notice or prior to closing, whichever occurs first. Paragraph 7B3. If seller is not required to provide the notice, check this box. Paragraph 7.C. Seller's disclosure of lead-based paint and lead-based paint hazards. If the property was built prior to 1978, the required lead-based paint addendum must accompany the contract. Paragraph 7D. Acceptance of property condition. This is an as-is contract. Paragraph 7.E. Completion of repairs and treatments. As a rule, seller is to complete any agreed repairs and treatments prior to the closing date. Paragraph 7F. Lender required repairs and treatments. Lender required repairs, if any, are a negotiated expense item between the parties. If the lender's repairs exceed 5% of the sales price, buyer may terminate the contract and receive a refund of earnest money. Seller must complete all agreed to repairs prior to closing, or the closing date may be extended up to 5 days to complete repairs. Paragraph 7.G. Environmental matters. This is a notice to buyer that, if buyer is concerned about environmental matters affecting the property, a TREC promulgated environmental addendum is available. The addendum allows buyer, at buyer's expense, to perform environmental assessments on the property. Paragraph 7H. Seller's disclosures. Seller has no knowledge of a range of issues relating to flooding and environmental hazards unless otherwise disclosed in the contract. Paragraph 7.Y. Residential service contracts. These are known as home warranties. Buyer can purchase a home warranty under any circumstances. Seller is obligated to reimburse buyer for the amount entered in this paragraph at closing. Seller is under no obligation to offer to pay for buyer's home warranty. It is a negotiated item. Paragraph 7. J. Government Programs. The most common government programs are grants from the USDA that are used for soil and water conservation projects on the property. These include the planting of grasses, the construction of dams, ponds, and other projects. Administered through local county agents, the USDA will often reimburse the landowner 20% to 80% of the cost of these projects. Paragraph 8. Brokers and sales agents. Paragraph 8.A. Broker or sales agent disclosure. Paragraph 8.A states that a license holder with a familial relationship with a party to the transaction must disclose this information to the other parties before entering into a contract. Paragraph 8. B. Broker's fees. All fees due to the broker are found in separate agreements, usually the listing agreement between the broker and the seller and buyer's representation agreement between the buyer and the broker. Paragraph 9.A. Closing. The closing date is a date agreed to by seller and buyer. It is an on or before date that may be moved up if all parties are ready to proceed to closing. The closing date may be extended up to 7 days, when necessary, after curing objections to the commitment or survey. If either party fails to close by the closing date, the non-defaulting party may exercise the remedies in paragraph 15. Paragraph 9. B1 seller is to convey title with a general warranty deed. Paragraph 9, B2. Buyer is to bring good funds to closing. Good funds is a cashier's check or wire transfer. Title companies may accept a small personal check from a buyer. Check with the title company for their policy. Paragraph 9, B3. Seller and buyer agree to execute notices and documents reasonably required to complete the transaction. Paragraph 9, B4. There will be no liens, assessments, or security interests against the property, which will not be paid out of the sales proceeds unless it is a loan or other obligation assumed by buyer. Paragraph 9, B5. The seller is responsible for paying any private transfer fees. Private transfer fees are not the same as HOA transfer fees. HOA transfer fees are covered by the addendum for property subject to mandatory membership in a property owner's association. These fees go back into the community. Paragraph 10. Possession. Seller shall deliver the property in its present condition, ordinary wear and tear excepted. As a rule, possession should be given to buyer upon closing and funding. Funding does not necessarily immediately follow closing. If funding is delayed, buyer needs to be informed so he or she can make the appropriate moving arrangements. If seller is to remain in the property for one night or more after closing and funding, a seller's temporary residential lease form should be completed. The lease form can be used for an occupancy of 90 days or less. Likewise, a buyer's temporary residential lease form should be used if buyer occupies the property 90 days or less prior to closing. Sellers must terminate all access to smart devices that convey with the home, including permanently disconnecting from the hardware and accounts that control the home's smart devices once the buyer takes possession of the property. The seller should have no remote access to the property through an app on a smartphone or computer. The buyer should ensure that the seller is logged out of all accounts and create his or her own accounts with unique login information. Paragraph 11. Special provisions. The special provisions paragraph is only for additional informational items. The contract defines an informational item as a statement that completes a blank in a contract form, discloses factual information, or provides instructions. License holders must take special care when adding anything in paragraph 11, as doing so could put them at considerable risk of being engaged in the unlawful practice of law. Much of the litigation surrounding this contract involves poorly constructed provisions in this paragraph. Paragraph 12. Settlement and other expenses. Buyers' and sellers' expenses and settlement costs are stated. Even though printed in the form to be paid by one party or the other, they are negotiable. Paragraph 12, point A1B, shows the amount of brokerage fees the buyer has agreed to pay, expressed as a dollar amount or percentage of the sales price. Paragraph 12.A, 1C. shows the maximum amount of expenses the seller is willing to pay on the buyer's behalf. Included here would be expenses seller and buyer have negotiated that the seller will pay on behalf of the buyer. Paragraph 12.A2 includes typical buyer expenses. Included here are appraisal fees, loan application fees, and adjusted origination charges from buyer's loan estimate. Also included would be PMI, MIP, or VA funding fee per the lender's requirement, brokerage fees the buyer has agreed to pay, and any other fee expenses payable by buyer. Paragraph 12. B. If any of these listed expenses exceeds what the party agreed to pay, the contract will terminate, unless the other party agrees to pay the excess. Paragraph 13. Prorations and rollback taxes. Prorations are calculated through the day of closing for taxes, maintenance fees, and rents, if any. Tax prorations may be calculated to consider any change in exemptions that will affect the current year's taxes. All counties in the state of Texas allow qualified landowners ag status of farm or ranch property or for property used to produce agricultural products, including timber. This conditional status is most commonly referred to as an exemption. This conditional status does not include homes or outbuildings on the land, but just the value of the land itself. Three of the most common types of land use that could qualify for this condition are agricultural, wildlife, and timber. Agricultural may include row crops, grazing of animals, baling of hay, truck farming, nursery activity, cash crops, and horse breeding. The example below shows the taxing authority's agricultural use valuation on 300 acres to be $15,210, while the non-agricultural use valuation is deemed to be $628,480 by the taxing authority. If the landowner qualifies for an agricultural condition, he will pay taxes on the land at a value of $15,210 or $304.20 per year. Thus, the rollback rules came into being for every county in Texas. In layman's terms, if an owner has taken advantage of the condition or exemption and changes the use of the property, the taxing authority in that county will roll the taxes back for a period of 3 years. The most common change of use would be creating subdivisions or commercial developments. This rollback is assessed to the owner of the property, regardless of how long it has been owned. The example below indicates a rollback on the 300 acres of $36,796.20 to be paid at the time of the change. AG use valuation, $15,210 per 100, equals 152.1 times $2 equals $304.20. $304.20 times 3 equals $912.60. Non-AG use valuation, $628,480 divided by 100 equals 6,284.8 times $2 equals $12,569.60 per year. $12,569.60 times 3 years equals $37,708.80 minus $912.60 equals $36,796.20. Paragraph 14. Casualty loss. A fire or other casualty loss does not release buyer or seller from the contract. Seller has until closing to bring the property back to its prior condition. Buyer can accept the property in its damaged condition, with seller assigning insurance proceeds to buyer. Buyer can terminate the contract and receive an earnest money refund if the property cannot be repaired in the allotted time. Seller bears the risk of casualty loss up to the moment of closing. Paragraph 15. Default. The effects of default by either buyer or seller are specified. Default remedies are discussed in detail on page. Paragraph 16. Mediation. Buyer and seller agree to mediation in the event that the parties have a dispute that cannot be settled through informal discussion. The cost of mediation is divided equally between buyer and seller. Mediation does not in any way imply a waiver of the right to file a suit if a party is unhappy with the results of mediation. Paragraph 17. Attorney's fees. attorney's fees, and all costs of such proceedings are recovered by a party who prevails in any legal proceeding related to this contract, including buyer, seller, listing broker, other broker, or escrow agent. Paragraph 18. Escrow. The escrow agent is not a party to the contract and has no liability for either party's performance. Paragraph 18b. Expenses. Earnest money is applied first to the cash down payment and then to buyer's expenses. Any excess is refunded to buyer. If closing fails to occur, the escrow agent will require a signed release of all escrow funds from all parties. The title company has the right to deduct from the earnest money the amount of unpaid expenses incurred on behalf of the party receiving the earnest money. Paragraph 18.C. Demand. Either party or the escrow agent may send a release of earnest money to each party. If either party fails to execute a release of earnest money, either party may make a written demand for the earnest money. If the escrow agent does not receive a written objection to the demand within 15 days, the escrow agent is authorized to release the earnest money to the party making the demand minus allowable deductions for expenses. Paragraph 18. Damages. If a party wrongfully refuses or wrongfully fails to sign a release, the party entitled to the earnest money is entitled to damages, earnest money, attorney fees, and court costs. Paragraph 18.E. Notices. Notices are effective when sent to the addresses in paragraph 21. Paragraph 19. Representations. All representations survive closing. If any representation is untrue on the closing date, seller will be in default. Seller may continue to show the property, receive, negotiate, and accept backup offers. Paragraph 20.A. Federal requirements. A seller with no Social Security card or green card is considered a foreign person. The escrow agent will withhold from the sales proceeds an amount sufficient to comply with applicable tax law and deliver the same to the IRS. The contract says buyer has an obligation to do this, but the escrow agent provides this service in reality. Paragraph 20.B. The Agriculture Foreign Investment Act requires that foreign persons who engage in real estate transactions for or hold interest in agricultural land must disclose any such transactions or holdings to the Secretary of Agriculture via local Farm Service Agency Service Center within 90 days of the date of the transaction and are subject to civil penalties if they fail to notify. It is suggested that a tax professional or attorney be consulted regarding compliance with this requirement. Paragraph 21. Notices. Notices are to be in writing. Facsimile notices are effective, as well as hand-delivered or mailed notices and email notices are acceptable. Agents must ensure that the escrow agent has accurate contact information for buyer and seller through the date of closing. Paragraph 22. Agreement of the parties. Check the applicable addenda that should be a part of this agreement. All of the addenda listed in this paragraph are TREC promulgated forms. Paragraph 23. Consult an attorney. TREC rules prohibit real estate license holders from giving legal advice. Enter attorney contact information if applicable. The execution date follows paragraph 23. When the last party signs and acceptance has been communicated to the other party's agent, the date of final acceptance is filled in. The broker is responsible for ensuring that the effective date is filled in. All contracts must have an execution date filled in. The contract has many provisions that require compliance within X days after the effective date of this contract. Failure to enter an execution date can cause considerable problems when trying to determine if a party is in compliance. Ratification of FE. If the transaction is a cooperative sale, enter the commission to be paid to the other broker. Leave this section blank if the transaction is an in-house sale. Broker information and agreement for payment of broker's fees. The license holder will enter the broker's information here. See Chapter 5 for details regarding the completion of this section. Two possible types of sales exist: cooperative sales and in-house sales. Cooperative sale. A sale is a cooperative, co-op sale, if one firm has listed the property and another firm is working with buyer. The broker working with buyer is referred to as the other broker on this page. Insert the other broker firm name and the broker's license number. In terms of representation, there are two choices. Represents buyer only as buyer's agent. Select this option if buyer has entered into an agency agreement with the selling broker. Represents seller as listing broker's subagent. Select this option if the selling agent is not representing buyer under an agency agreement. Complete the other broker's information, including the associate's contact information. In-house sale. A sale is an in-house sale if the same broker is representing the seller and is also working with buyer. Because it is an in-house sale, there is no other broker, and the other broker information is left blank. Fill in the listing broker firm name and the broker's license number. In terms of representation, there are two choices. Represents seller and buyer as an intermediary. Select this option if both seller and buyer have entered into an agency agreement with the broker. Represents seller only as seller's agent. Select this option if buyer has not entered into an agency relationship with the broker. Complete the information, including the associate's contact information. Fill in the blanks with the negotiated commission, designating which party will be paying a fee to the listing broker and the other broker. Buyer and seller will sign this fee agreement. Buyer and seller should not sign the bottom of this page if they have a separate agreement for paying the broker's fees. Please note that the farm and ranch contract differs from the other TREC promulgated contracts in that many farm and ranch brokers do not belong to an MLS, and many farm and ranch properties are not on an MLS. The farm and ranch contract contains language regarding the negotiation of broker's fees. Earnest money and contract receipts. The escrow agent will fill out this part of the form when title is opened by the delivery of the contract to the title company. Either agent may deliver the contract to the title company. The title company representative effectively opens title to the property.